a minister was in Italy, and he came to the grave of an atheist, and it had been there for centuries. This individual was completely against Christianity, but he had a fear that he might rise from the dead. So he took a slab that was thick and long, and he had him put it over his grave so that there would be no possibility of him rising at all.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection. We've been offering a booklet on the Antichrist, and if you will contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry, we will get a copy of that to you, no charge. Just contact us here and request the booklet on the Antichrist. So join us now for the conclusion of When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection.
The Romans came in and did what? And destroyed it, right? So they only enjoyed about 6 years of having the temple completely done. But at the time Jesus came, they had already been working on it for 46 years. And, you know, it's interesting that I think what Jesus was trying to say when he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He was trying to say, well, watch this now, don't miss this. They missed it on that day. We can miss it today, but don't miss this. I believe what Jesus was saying, that we don't need the temple anymore. Amen. Because I am the temple. I am the temple. And so they missed it. They missed the fact that Jesus was referring to his body as the temple. Notice what it says in verse 21. But he spoke of the temple of his body. And then we come to our text that we read in the introduction today, and that is this. Wherefore, when he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Huh. Let's ruminate on that for a little bit. Again, they missed it. They missed it. And I'm proposing today that we miss this passage in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's turn back there. We miss the true essence of this passage in Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul writes, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. It says that the same power works in us. And so I want to share with you a couple of things and pray that we don't miss. The first thing, as we talk about this resurrection power, that it is an enabling power. It is an enabling power. Notice what he says here. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? First word for power, right? Greek word, dunamis. I know somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out here. What English word do we get from that? Dynamite. Oh, man, we got some Greek scholars out there, right? He said, and what is the exceeding greatness of this dynamite that you have? You've got dynamite. You've got dunamis power. And what does this mean? As we look at it's an ability. It's to be able. It's to have power. Watch this. to perform the power to perform the task God given by God. Right? Right? When we saw the singers up here singing today, you know what they had? They had dunamis. What? That is this ability to do what God has called you to do. That you tap into this power. I've shared my testimony, and I'll share it again because we got new members. So old members, y'all just kind of say, well, you know, Pastor Glaze, you know, he just got to tell these stories. So we understand. So I'm going to give you can check out for a second, right? This is for the new members and the visitors, right? But I've shared my testimony how that when I was in college, before I got saved, that I took a class, and we had to do a report. And I don't know how my name, Glaze, you know, usually they go by alphabetical order, but somehow I got all the way at the end of the semester. And I was just thinking, every week after week, I saw students get up there and give their reports. And I thought to myself, man, one day I'm going to have to stand up there. And I don't want to stand up there. You know, I hate public speaking. I hate it. And the semester wound down. And then the night before, I was getting my report together, and it just, man, I didn't want to do it. And it came for the day to give them, I mean, I was nervous. I stood up there, and I held that paper in my hand, and I was shaking like that, and my voice was quivering as I read that report. And after I finished that, I went and looked in the rest of the classes I had to take to make sure there was no speaking in any of those classes. Because I didn't want to speak. I didn't want to do any more public speaking. And guess what? God called me to preach. And as I stand here today, I know it's not in and of my own ability. It's only because this dunamis. It's only because of the power that God has given me. The resurrection power. That's what I'm saying. We need to tap into it. If God called you to do something, don't hem and haw and fuss. If God called you to do it, he's going to give you the ability. He's going to give you the dunamis to be able to do it. But you shall receive power, Acts 1:8 says. You shall receive dunamis. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon, and you shall be what? Witnesses. That you can't witness now, but when you get this power, you'll be able to witness. You know, I like the song that if God calls you to do something, he's going to touch you. And the song says, just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He chooses people just like me and you who are willing to do what he commands. God uses people that will give him all, no matter how small your all may seem to you, because little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had, and the multitudes were fed with the fish and the loaves of bread. What you have may not seem much, but when you yield it to the touch of the master's loving hand, then you will understand that your life will never be the same. Why? Why did that singer write that song? Because of the dunamis power. Because of the power that enables you to do what God has called you to do. It only matters. It all depends on whose hands it's in. A basketball in my hands is worth about $19. A basketball in LeBron James' hands is worth $33 million. A tennis racket in my hand is useless. A tennis racket in the hand of Serena Williams is a Wimbledon championship. It all depends on whose hands it's in. A song in my hands will cause people to stop listening to music. A song in the hands of tomorrow will bless people out of their socks. It all depends whose hands it's in. A life in my hands will produce misery and strife, but a life in the hands of God is priceless. It all depends whose hands it's in. Enabling power. The second power I want to talk to you about is what's called an energizing power. An energizing power. Look what he says here. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the, we run into our next word. We got to stop. We can't go on. Man, this verse is pregnant with truth about power. According to the working. Well, what is the word there? Energeo. And what does that mean? Watch this now. Watch this. It's the vitality to sustain life. The energizing force of the Holy Spirit that empowers believers to have love for the Lord and love for others. It's an energizing force. It's a force that helps us to do the will of God. Notice what it says here, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh. Same word. Go back to Ephesians 1. Same word. It's the same God that energizes you both to do his will and his good pleasure. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get weak. Or as the songwriter said, trouble in my way, I gotta cry sometimes. Sometimes I want to quit. Sometimes I want to give up. I need to find a way to tap into this energizing force. I need to find a way to tap into this working, this inner ghetto that God has made available for me. That sometimes we might get weary and sometimes we might get worn out, and we got to be like that Energizer Bunny. We got to be able to take a licking and keep on ticking. What helps you to do that? I know one thing, you know, a lot of times, you know, I don't sleep well at night. I only get like a couple hours of sleep. And I'm up. And, you know, I'm usually studying or writing or something when I get up. And then I might go back to bed for a little bit and get another hour. And then I got a whole, I'm looking, I said, man, I got a whole day ahead of me. Yeah, I got a whole day. And I just say, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. And somehow he gives me the energy. Somehow he gives me to the energy. And you know what? There's nothing like, I don't know if you have ever experienced this, but there's nothing like a 5-minute power nap. Right? A 5-minute power nap. Where you, man, it seems like, man, you nod out. Have you ever nodded out and just forgot about life, right? Like you wake up and like, I'm supposed to be somewhere. Where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing, right? But man, you, the Lord, and sometimes it's a power nap, and sometimes he just gives you that supernatural energy to be able to keep on keeping on. And you, my brothers and sisters, you have this power available to you, and you don't tap into it. You waste it. Would to God that we would learn that can you imagine that they put Jesus in the tomb, and we don't know when he got up. It says the third day, but we're not sure when he got up the third day, right? There's a lot of debate about that. But his body, a dead body, a body that had no life, a body where the heart stopped beating, came back to life and came up out of that grave. And the same now again, man, we can't, you know, we can't do what Jesus did, walk around touching people and heal them and stuff like that. I mean, if God wants to heal, then he can do that. If he wants to use us to heal, he can do that. But that's not the normal course. And so, you know, we're not going to have that miraculous performing power. But to do these little things that we got to do as human beings here on this earth, that we got more than enough power to be able to do it. And all we just got to do is find out how do we connect with this, how do we connect with this power? You know, spending time in his presence, right? When you spend time in his presence, there's a sense of comfort. But not only comfort, but there's a sense of empowerment that comes over you. And that you're ready to handle the task of today because you've connected with the power source. And he's deposited that power into your life. Not only is it an energizing power, but it is an overcoming power. Notice what it says here. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working? We got to stop. We got another word. We got to stop. According to the working of his mighty Kratos power. And what is this kind of power? Well, this word right here actually means to overcome or to dominate. To overcome or to dominate. The power from God to overcome addictions, fears, emotions, securities. You know, I was, as many of you know, I'm dealing with diabetes. And I tell you what, saints, I'm just going to be honest with you. Man, it's a struggle. It is a struggle because I like my Mountain Dew. Among other things. But God is convicting my heart. And God is saying to me, I needed to hear this. I needed to hear this message. Thank you for preaching this message, Reverend. I needed to hear this message. If it was just for this right here, that you have the power to overcome whatever it is. Man, there's people that have had diabetes, they've struggled with it, and they just so disciplined. And they discipline their exercise, they discipline their eating habits, they discipline whatever else they needed to. And what did they do? They overcame. They overcame. And so God is speaking to my heart, and God is saying, Bill, you got the power to overcome. If something bad happens to your body, it's not going to be anybody else's fault. I mean, I'm talking for me now. You know, I know that, so I don't want to throw the blanket and cover everybody else because sometimes when I do that, somebody always comes, well, Pastor, you know, so-and-so was dealing with, okay, well, I'm not talking about so-and-so, okay? I'm talking about me, all right? I'm talking about this man standing here. As I point one finger out there, there's three coming back at me, right? And I'm saying me. And the Lord already told me, if something bad happens to your body, it's nobody's fault but your own. Now, again, that message might not be for you, but it's for me. It's for me. Why? Because, Bill, I've given you the power. I've given you the power to overcome. I've given you the power to discipline yourself. I've given you the power to be able to do what you need to do. That dominating power, that power to overcome. And so I stand here today preaching this message, and what do I say to you? I say to you that I was like the disciples. You know, I wasn't believing the scripture. And, you know, they didn't believe that what Jesus said about resurrection until after he died and rose from the dead. Then they remembered. Right? I don't want something bad to happen. And then I remember. I got the power. I got the power. I want to know that I can tap into the power now. Then the last thing, and I'm done. The last thing, and I'm done. And what is the greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his might? And then look how he closes it out with the word power. And this word power is ixis. And it means God's power. The supernatural power of God that enables us to do great things. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Same word used over there. Look what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his ichthus. Same word back in Ephesians. And he says to what? You be strong in the Lord and in the what? Power of his might. I believe that Paul kind of threw this one in there just to say if the first three didn't hit it, then this covers all of them. This covers all of them. So what are you struggling with today as a child of God that has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What are you struggling with today? Do you believe that you have the power to be able to deal with it? You know, and sometimes it's just a mindset. You know, I was listening to this one guy last night. He said that he was in the gym, and he went up to this one guy, and he saw that he was sniffling and stuff. And he said, man, how long have you had that cold? And he said, in 3 weeks, it'll be a month. Think about that. Think about that. In 3 weeks, it'll be a month. He wasn't planning on doing anything about his situation. He had accepted it. He had accepted it that he was going to have a cold for 3 more weeks. And you know what? That's the sad thing about many of God's people. They have accepted the reality of their circumstances. As I close this evening, this morning, this afternoon, there was a guy whose power went off in his house. And he dropped his keys. And he searched, you know, for a half hour, hour, and he couldn't find his keys. He looked outside, and the street light was on. And so he went out there under the street light because there was light. And he began to look for his keys. And his neighbor came. And his neighbor said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking for my keys." And so the neighbor begins to look for the keys. And after a while, the neighbor finally asks, "Where did you lose them at?" He said, "I lost them in my house." And as I thought about that, we are looking for power outside. We are looking for power of the street light outside when the keys are inside. And all we got to do is tap into the inside. And as we tap into the inside, that will take care of the outside. That your keys, the key to your victory, is not out there. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. The key to your victory is not out there. Right in here. It's in here. And all you got to do through abiding in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through intimacy with God, all you got to do is tap into this power that God has given.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of It's Showtime. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection. That's anchoredinjesus.org. And request When Will You Believe the Scriptures About the Power of Christ's Resurrection. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Thank you for visiting our website. Many of you have done that. And as you visit the website, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that we have listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our wonderful volunteer staff, we would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.